thank you for listening or watching this episode of the Underreported Podcast. If you would like to get access to bonus episodes or the chance to be a guest on the show, you can do so by joining my Patreon. Just click the link in the show notes. You can also support this podcast by getting your Underrepped But Always Reppin' merch. Just visit underreppedmerch.com. That's UNDERREPPEDMERCH.com to get yours today. Now let's get to the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Underreported Podcast. I am Melanie, your report her. And on this podcast, I share stories of crimes committed against Black women and Black girls because they are underreported in the media. If you are new here, the way this typically works is I share a story with you, the audience, and I have a guest in the studio with me that I share the story with as well. But with this being the season two finale, we are bringing you a very special episode. The guest for this very special episode is Janelle Hofelt, and she is the aunt of Tiffany Johnson. If you are unaware, the second episode of this season featured the story of Tiffany Johnson and Taliba Island. After that story went live, a woman reached out to me who was an advocate for the family and expressed that some of the news articles that reported on this story had some inaccuracies. And because of that, and because I referenced some of those, the family was open to having a conversation with me to clear up some of those inaccuracies. And so I am honored and humbled to bring you the conversation that I had with Tiffany Johnson's aunt, Janelle Hofelt. Again, thank you for being here and doing this. If you would, just introduce yourself and your relation to Tiffany Johnson.
I am Janelle Hofelt. I'm Tiffany's aunt.
Got it.
I live in Minnesota.
Okay. And kind of as we discussed, I put the episode out covering Tiffany and Taliba's story, and then shortly after that, a woman reached out to me, said she was an advocate on behalf of your family, and that some of the articles put out information that wasn't all the way accurate in the story, and some of the articles, I'm assuming that I then referenced, had some inaccuracies in it. And so having you on, we are going to have the opportunity to clear that up and making sure that we are sharing the story in a way that is accurate and that people have the correct information in hopes of getting you guys obviously the answers that you have wanted for many, many years now. From your perspective, if you want to kind of talk us through that day.
Okay, well, October 10th was the beginning of a nightmare. Mm-hmm. We got a phone call from Tiffany's twin, Asher, saying that Tiffany was missing. And that's when everything blew up. Mm-hmm. We were told that Chris Rebell, aka C Note or Big Chris,
okay,
as he is known on the streets,
okay,
that he was arrested for Tiffany's kidnapping. And so then Tiffany's mom, Deb, she flew out to Texas.
Is Tiffany's mom your sister?
Tiffany is my sister's youngest daughter.
Your sister. Okay, got it. Okay, got it.
So, yeah. So, Deb flew to Texas, and the search began. Mm-hmm. There was a big crowd. And then my husband, my son, and I, we all drove on that Wednesday. We drove straight through, and we started searching. Mm-hmm. And we got going, and here we are today, searching some more.
Yeah. And so up until that point, how long was Tiffany with Chris? And then if you can kind of give us like your understanding of their relationship and like the history, or like what was your feeling, what was the family's feeling about him? Like for October 10th to have happened, kind of what was there anything that led up to that you guys know about, and how long were they together? Those kind of questions.
They were together for just a few months. Mm-hmm. They technically broke up around in August, beginning of September,
okay,
approximately. I didn't know him before, so then I went out to Texas with my son,
mm-hmm,
and for a week visit with Tiff and Asher. And then we went to a gas station, the corner store close by the apartment. Chris drove up, and that's when I first met him. Tattoos mean nothing to me, but he did have some on his neck, mm-hmm. and he has two teardrops.
Okay.
I didn't know what that means. So I go, okay, maybe he's good. But he seemed very shy towards me.
Okay.
And he knew that Tiffany and I are very close. Mm. And so within the week going, he seemed okay. But then when Tiffany wanted to look for a car, for another car, she asked him. And he says, can't you see I'm playing a video game?
Oh, wow.
To me, that was a red flag. I says, well, your girl,
right.
She needs, you know, your help on knowing cars since you're supposed to know cars.
Yeah.
And now this video game's more important. So Tiff and I, we went out and started looking. Mm. And then within that few days, I was out there. She calls me Aunt now.
Okay.
So she goes, Aunt now, how do you break up with a guy? I go, Tiff, honestly, I don't know. I says, maybe just tell them that you need a break from one another.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she did. And now.
Okay. Okay.
So I just, he knows exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in a good place, yeah. But I wish they never gave him the chance of parole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be, he can do it again.
Yep. Yeah. And can you talk a little about, I'm jumping around, but please feel free to interrupt. And I want to make sure you are able to get out everything that you want to. So I'm asking questions, but again, feel free to interrupt and make sure you, you know, say anything that you want to. So can you talk about the introduction of Taliba's family, how you guys found out about Taliba's story and kind of this history that it seemed as if you guys didn't even know about him?
We didn't know the first thing about Taliba. Mm. When Tiffany went missing,
mm-hmm.
Daya is what we call her, Taliba's old sister.
Okay.
And she got in contact with us saying that Chris did this to her sister 10 years before. And we go, oh my gosh.
Right.
And it was just like, he gave the exact same story.
Wow.
That they hopped in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know the make or model of the car, which is, he should.
Yeah.
And a guy, Norman, doesn't have that bad of luck.
Mm.
So, and then ever since we together with the Islam family,
mm-hmm.
they became part of our family.
Mm-hmm.
So we just helped one another.
Yeah.
Remember, we went on a search for Tiffany. We went on a search for Taliba also.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah. And if we share a flyer,
mm-hmm.
a flyer will be with Taliba too.
Yeah.
So, and the police car in Fort Worth PD was called.
Mm-hmm.
To me, instead of asking all these questions, knowing Chris's background of his history of
right.
crime,
yeah.
why didn't they put out an APB on the car?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. They knew what he was like. They should have done that car, but they never did.
On his vehicle?
On that Ford Taurus, yes.
What I read, and this, again, please correct anything that is incorrect, but what I read was after he came back to the apartment, so he left, and Asher's calling, and they're calling him and telling him to come back. Eventually, the police come, and the police get on the phone and tell him to come back. He comes back, which I'm assuming is in that vehicle.
Right.
And then he's arrested. And so are you saying what happened to the vehicle?
The PD took the vehicle.
Okay.
To pound.
Okay. Got it. Wow.
And then the way that I'm going to skip around to.
Yeah.
The way that Tiffany met Chris
yes.
was through Jackie Riddell, a.k.a. Keisha.
Who is his sister, correct?
Which is his sister.
Okay.
Yes. But they found out that they were dating the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Tiffany went over to where Jackie was and confronted her.
Okay.
And they says, yes. But then Jackie says, he is my man.
Oh.
I go, oh. So then Keisha or Jackie introduced Tiffany to Chris, knowing what he did to Taliba, because Jackie was there that night when Taliba went missing.
That was the question I was going to ask, because in reading the articles, it seemed as if, I mean, her name was not given, but it seemed as if the same sister was there during Saliba's, when she went missing. And then that same sister is the one who introduced Tiffany to her brother.
Correct. So, yeah.
Wow.
So, to me, I can't say a whole bunch because we're going to Texas next month, and I do have an appointment to speak with the sergeant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And some of these questions, what you want is what I'm going to ask the new sergeant.
Yeah.
So I want a definite answer on
it. Yeah.
So.
So there's a new sergeant, someone that's new, that's going to be running the case?
Correct.
Or overseeing it? Okay.
Correct.
Got it.
Sergeant Phillips resigned or retired, and now Sergeant Etsy is now on Tiffany's case.
Okay.
So, yeah. So she has a lot to go through, and but there's still other police officers that was there that could also help her. I mean, I just, my trust level now is extremely low towards a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sure. So,
but my main, our main focus is Tiffany.
Yeah.
And that will never stop until Tiffany's back home.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, when first Tiffany went missing, and everybody was at the apartment, Keisha, Jackie, whatever, you know, whatever name she wants to go by.
Got it.
Contacted Tiffany's mom by Facebook Messenger.
Okay.
Saying, well, have you looked here? Have you looked there? Or, you know, yeah. But she introduced herself as a cousin.
As a cousin to Chris?
Yes. Not as a sister. So at the beginning, we thought, okay, this is the cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some digging. I found Jackie and Keisha's profiles. Oh. I put them together. You can have the same tattoo in the exact same spot, not have the exact mole in the same spot.
Right.
And looking at the mother, well, heck, one saying this is my mom. Oh, this is my mom. So
right.
You put two together. Okay. Jackie is Keisha.
Right.
So, yeah. But I'm not pointing fingers at her or anybody.
Right, right, right.
Just a lot of
things that don't make sense.
Right. And I won't go into more about Keisha because that's other stuff what I need to find out.
Got it. Understood.
So, crazy. I mean, we searched thousands of acres, open acres.
I'm sure.
Wooded areas. And we found multiple remains for other families can have closures.
And what about, because in the articles it said that he went to his mom's house, which is, it seemed like where he was also living, and he was in the backyard. I'm assuming that was searched as well?
That was searched. But on this one, at the trial, his mother, Miriam, she does not go in the backyard. She just opens the door and lets the dogs out. Well, if you find an interview with the news station, she's in the backyard saying, I went back here. And these items were spread out or laid out. Well, if a person is going to tear off clothing, they're going to go like that. They're not just going to lay it out. So that was another. Tiffany stayed at Revelle's house once. Chris was staying over at Tiffany's house. Chris didn't have clothes over at the apartment. Tiffany didn't have clothes over at the Revelle's.
Okay.
We are still trying to get the rest of Tiffany's clothing from the Revelle's. When Sergeant Phillips was on the force, he was supposed to get them for us or have someone get them. We're still waiting for those clothing.
Oh, my goodness. It just seems like such a mismanagement of, you know, the case. And, like, there's so many unanswered questions that should have been, you know, dealt with and asked. And the police should have been kind of digging into this stuff.
Right. Like, when Slidon first went missing, there was a week before Chris called her. And reported her missing. I mean, he had plenty of time to do whatever. But with Tiffany's case, he didn't have much time.
Right.
And so, and when he pulled up against the apartment, there was a tree there at the apartment complex.
Okay.
And there was person living downstairs from where the car was. And behind there, there's another apartment buildings and a lot and a little small hill.
Okay.
Well, if there's no D in the trunk or in the car, where is she?
Right.
Well, my thing is, he had help.
Oh.
Certain at the apartment complex. Mm. Because he did have a text or a phone call that night. Yeah, so that's where I think Tiffany went missing, was from someone had help.
And you, was it revealed to the family of who that text, who he reached out to, what that number, who that number belonged to?
I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I don't know that answer. So, but in that apartment complex, they should have had those. Because that's how they advertised it. Mm-hmm. It's a secure. We'll let him out. And it was gated and security. Well, that gate half the time was broken. Mm.
So it's not even doing, you know, that's supposed to be secure. That's the whole point.
Right. So, I mean, everything.
Yeah.
It's just. I don't know what I would say. It's just everything could have been prevented.
Right, right.
So I go by, I do my weekly post on Bring Home Tiffany Johnson.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm talking to her.
To her.
Because at 5 o'clock every night, Tiffany and I walk. So I do it at 5 or try to do it after 5.
So yeah.
It's like we're connected, so.
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. You know, I can only hope and pray that, you know, this next meeting that you guys have when you go out to Texas, you get some of these questions answered. Actually, before I wanted to, is there anything specifically that you wanted to correct that was either something I said or something that was reported in the articles or in the news, like anything that we can kind of clarify on that note?
Yeah, there was quite a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Tiffany's car, it worked, but her brakes did not work.
Oh.
So that's, and then PD told her car to check the brakes because she just got her brakes fixed.
Oh.
So yeah. And then that Nike did not work. Okay. And then,
and that was news to her, right? Because actually, if I can, I want to talk about that, just be clear about that, because I read a couple articles that kind of had discrepancies about what took place. It was that she was upstairs and she came down to try to cut off the guy who was coming to see her. I can't remember his name right now, but
Russell Wayne.
Russell, he was coming to see her, and so she was going to try to intercept so that he wouldn't have to interact with Chris. And then
now what I heard was that Tiffany was to her car because she was getting like a jacket or something out there. That's how her car keys got on there.
Right. Okay.
Chris came over because he was parked down further down from the apartment complex. And normally Chris will park right next to the building.
Right.
Well, he was parked down further. And then that's where Chris and Tiffany got talking.
Got it.
And then they went upstairs, I believe. Yes. I have to try to remember.
Yeah.
And then she went back down. I believe that's how it happened. But somehow, Russell came to the apartment. He got dropped off by his cousin or coworker.
Okay.
He came over to Tiff and Chris.
Mm-hmm.
He thought Chris was Tiffany's cousin at first.
Okay.
And then Tiffany says, no, this is Chris. This is my ex. I'll be okay. You just go upstairs.
Okay.
So that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then Russell told Jessica and Nasher that Chris was down there.
Okay.
And then that's when they was watching from the balcony, trying to listen. And then it just got louder and louder, so they moved on the side.
Okay.
And then about 15, 20 minutes or so, Chris comes up and they ask, where's Tiffany?
Mm-hmm.
That's when Chris says, she hopped in a car with somebody I don't know.
Okay.
So then Chris, Asher and so went down and went through the back way, because there's two ways you can go.
Mm-hmm.
Went through the back way and was watching him. He was in his messing around with something in his trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And then so then they decided to move around, see if they can get a better look. And that's when Chris left.
Got it.
They went back upstairs, called, and then that's where Asher found Tiff's sock and mm-hmm. her cell phone.
Got it.
So, yeah.
So up until Russell came up and told Asher and Jessica that Chris was downstairs, they didn't even know he was there?
Not down there, no. Oh. As far as I know.
Okay. Okay.
So not as far as I know, but this is what I heard.
Okay.
So.
Got it.
And then I heard that he was supposed to be going there to watch football.
Okay.
But, you know, you hear so many different things. I don't know.
Yeah. That was one of the things, was that even though they had broken up, Asher and Chris still had a bit of a relationship, friendship, in which they would like watch football or like hang out at different times.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all. But I went, but that's
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
So, and then another one was where either that Chris and Tiffany was staying at Tiffany's mom's house.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Tiffany's mom, Deb, lived in South Dakota when Tiffany went missing.
Oh, wow.
So they were staying at Miriam's house. That's Chris's mom's house.
Chris's mom's house.
Yes. And then when what she said was that they were not home when Tiffany went missing. They were upstairs in bed watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have upstairs.
They don't even have an upstairs?
No. And then another story said that they were out shopping. So there's just so many lies going on. So after Chris called, you know, got hold of everybody, and he was just so worried about him.
Mm-hmm.
And just, how am I going to get home? How am I going to get to work? Or so forth. He wasn't worried about Tiff. And now here's a family and an innocent victim.
Right.
Where he has more rights than any of us. But within those 10 years apart between Taliba and Tiffany, mm-hmm. how many other girls are missing?
That was the other thing. I'm like, if Taliba's story was 10 years prior, does he have any other missing girlfriends? Because exactly. That's a long period of time. And if he's this violent, and the thought is terrifying.
So, yeah. I mean, there's girls that could have gone to college and, you know, said, mm-hmm. Mom, I'm doing okay. Then all of a sudden they were just so depressed.
Yeah.
They, you know, who knows? You never know.
Mm-mm.
So, like, I would like to tell the young girls out there.
Yes.
Be very careful on who you choose to date.
Mm-hmm.
Anymore, I'll do a background check on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who they are.
Yep.
They're going to have a background check. They might be the best person for whoever.
Yeah.
They're still going to have a background check. And this really made an eye woke me up.
Yeah.
Woke up our family. So it's just, here's almost 7 years. No answers. No. Granted, she might have been naive when she went out there, but we were raised as a happy, helping family.
Yeah,
that's who we are,
right? As most of us, you know, are. That's how we operate.
I'm sorry if Chris didn't have a loving family like Tiffany has, or my son has, mm-hmm. or all of us. I'm sorry, but hey, it's not Tiffany's fault.
No,
it wasn't Tiffany's fault.
Nope.
It's your mother's fault. And he does not deserve to be out on parole in 2046 if he does get it.
Yeah.
That'll make him 62 years old.
Oh, wow.
He can do it again. So if he does get out, ladies, if you ever hear the name Chris Reveal, stay far, far away from him.
Stay away.
Because he is a monster. But I believe in my heart, in my soul, in my gut, Tiffany will be found soon. It might not be today, might not be tomorrow or next year, but she will be found. And she will. And I don't we don't feel like she's gone. Mm-hmm. So once we find her, she will get the help she needs.
Yeah.
It's the only way for all of us to continue on.
Yeah.
If you've never been in this situation, no one will know. It's a, I don't feel sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for Tiffany. Tiffany is my main concern.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's more than a niece. She's like a child to me. Mm-hmm. Oh, and she should have never gone through this. But we just need more searchers. Mm-hmm. And if anybody has any kind of information, there is a tip line.
Yes. And actually, I want to make sure we go through all of that. So let me just say, number one, there is the Facebook page that you run, which is called Bring Tiffany Johnson Home.
Correct.
Which, again, is on Facebook, where you post constantly, weekly, yeah. More than that. I feel like I've seen all
once
your
a day.
Yeah, once a day that you're posting, which is beautiful. It's, you know, seeing it, and to your point, even reading it, it's like you can tell that it's from my perspective, it's like you're talking to your niece. And so that is there. There are also the tip line you're just referencing. If you have any information about this case, about Tiffany's case, go ahead and tell us the tip line.
This is with our main searcher.
Okay.
His name is Art. He organizes all the searches.
Okay.
He's wonderful.
Okay.
You can either text or call him. His number is 817-713-2888. Or Tiffany's flyer. This is her actual flyer.
Okay.
And there is another telephone number.
Okay.
It is 724-466-4673. Or you can also go by email.
Okay.
It's www.wecanbringyouhope.org. And on this, you do need the case number.
Okay.
And the case number is 1697006.
And is there anything else you want to say? Or leave with the audience? I know you brought up such a good point. Even in the doing background checks, even in just being smart and being aware of who you date, because it really can affect your life, the rest of your life. But is there anything else you want to leave with the audience as they're listening? I mean, anything else on that note you want to say?
Always, if you're out and about yourself, make sure you know where your surroundings are. Mm-hmm. Keep your cell phone in your pocket, because you can see a lot of young girls or a lot of young guys. Mm-hmm. Their cell phone is always in your face. Mm-hmm. And if you have a set of car keys, put the car on your ring finger. Mm-hmm. You can use that as a weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're walking, getting off work at night, make sure you have, you know, be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
Be careful on who you meet. Mm-hmm. Because this is a new era now. Mm-hmm. There are some crazy people.
There are.
And they don't care if they hurt you. They don't care if they kill you. They don't care anything. Mm-hmm. All they care is about themselves.
Yeah.
So please be careful on what you do out there. We don't want any of this to happen to another innocent girl.
Yeah.
Woman, child, you know.
Yep.
I mean, you see a lot of runaways. Mm-hmm. They think it's a big world out there. They think it's a piece of cake. Yeah. You know, it's a lot easier being at home instead of out there.
Yeah. If anyone is in Texas and want to help with the searches, can they call or use one of the numbers that you gave as well? Is that how they would be able to do that?
They can get a hold of Art.
Art, okay.
At 817.
Uh-huh.
Get a hold of him.
Okay.
And we like to get ID.
Okay,
to
yes.
prove who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important.
So, and if he says go ahead, mm-hmm. you know, search, they have to wear protective gear. And they have to bring water. Mm-hmm. And we always ask on your cell phone, because they might see something that's very important.
Yeah.
And you can just, you can't touch it.
Right.
Take a picture of it. Mm-hmm. And know where the area is.
Okay.
But make sure you bring a walking stick, because mm-hmm. there are spiders and snakes in Texas. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we just need people's to be Tiffany's ears and eyes out there.
Right.
She's there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Someone has the answer. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, everybody was born with a hurt. Mm-hmm. It depends on how you use it.
So true. Thank you so much for doing this and helping me to tell Tiffany's story and clearing up any of the inaccuracies. I really do appreciate it. And I send my love and support out to you guys and her family, her mom, everyone who loves her as you guys continue this journey. So thank you. Thank you again.
Well, I appreciate you helping us to spread Tiffany's awareness.
Absolutely.
I do appreciate it. And so does the family.
Absolutely. Before I go, I just want to say that my endeavor with this podcast really comes from my hope to spread awareness about these cases, to hopefully make you aware about your surroundings, about who you're dating, about anything that can bring harm to you. And so it is only to provide accurate information and spread these women's stories in a respectful way to them and to their families. And so again, I just want to emphasize my appreciation for Janelle being open to being on this podcast. I thank you for listening. I thank you for spreading and sharing the podcast, sending it to whoever you send it to. And so with that, that is the end of season 2 of the Underreported Podcast. Until next time, until season 3. Bye.